This recording is a production of Faith Builders Educational Programs. This presentation was recorded at REACH 2015, a conservative Anabaptist ministry convention hosted by Faith Builders on March 19 and 20, 2015.
Welcome to our workshop this morning. And what we'll do is that we'll start off this session. I'll be the first speaker, then each one, as I call their names, will give their input. So we'll have about 20 minutes of input, 20, 25. And halfway through, after the second panelist, we would like you to pass your question and suggestion to the aisle, and they'll pick it up. While panelists 3 and 4 give their input, then I'll sort them out and try to group them according to topic to address them. And we'll want to try to share with you, too, the suggestions that the rest of your participants have written down. So first, how do we promote long-term service of missionaries, their rootedness in the communities they serve, and the passing on of core values to mission leaders of the next generation? A few things that came to my mind as I prepared for this. One, I think it all starts when we begin to recruit people for missions. Are we recruiting them to 6 months or 2 years to sort of do their duty and then go back to normal life? Or are we recruiting them toward a vocation? Are we instilling within them early on that to become skillful in their ministry, they really have to pay the price of getting ready and of studying that language so that they can effectively communicate with the people they will serve? Are we recruiting them for the glory of God, or are we recruiting them primarily to meet needy people's needs and something within oneself to make you feel good? So, to what do we recruit people? Secondly, we found it very helpful to encourage workers to really go the distance in preparing themselves by training, whether it's through a Bible Institute, whether it's through specific modules of training that we pick up across the country, whether it's through reading, and so on. We require our workers to take 6 weeks of training in New York City before going on. That's just scratching the surface. But so often we want to get things cheap, we want to do it fast, we want to get there right away because souls are dying, but we forget that we really need to train people to go the distance. Third, I would mention, as a mission, one of the things that we have done is that if workers will sign up for 3 years, then all of the donations that come in designated for them, we will take the equivalent of 2% out of our general fund and set it aside in an equity fund that accrues for them, so that when they discontinue their service with DNI, that can be given to them in the spirit of Deuteronomy 15 to assist them with the next season of life. Just a little perk to help encourage long-term service. We've also been working as a mission board. Whenever we have our board meeting in different communities, we ask if we can meet with the local missions committees of churches that send workers to share ideas of how we can build up the people they are sending together with us so that we can go the distance. We also try to encourage our workers, look, that first, when you get to the field, make sure you spend at least your first year in language study. If workers cannot communicate well with locals, they're not going to go the distance because they can't build those connections with locals that will really be meaningful and gratifying. And that includes the wife as well, that language study, which means paying a little more money to make sure that there's someone, a nanny or someone to help with the family during language school so the lady can also learn the language as well. I think my time's up. I'll stop right there. And number two panelist this morning is Brother Ivan Beachy.
It's a delight to be with you all, and maybe I'll start my comments by giving a story. Back in 1942, there was a train number 1817 in Italy was carrying 600 passengers through the mountains. That train, pulled by two coal-fired locomotives, entered a tunnel in the mountains and for whatever reason stalled. 500 people perished on that train. When they began investigating, they discovered that the front locomotive was in forward with the throttle wide open. The second locomotive was in reverse with the throttle wide open. Somewhere there was a lack of communication, and because of that, 500 people perished that night. I say it's very important that mission boards and staff on the field have good communication. That is so vital to be able to keep a work going in a proper way. I think it's the responsibility of a board to clearly state the vision, but then also to review that. And for our mission, Amish Mennonite Aid, we depend very heavily on input from the field, their pastors' meeting minutes, their unit meeting minutes, but also in visits to the field where we actually sit down with them individually, hear their hearts, allow them to ask, what's the future? Where are we going with this? And that sometimes challenges us as a board and say, well, you know, we're not quite sure. We hadn't thought about that particular aspect, but let us take that back to our meeting and discuss it further. So I think it's very important that there is that constant communication between the field staff and the mission board. It begins at the recruiting process. I would affirm what Brother Allen said there concerning that, and also in the orientation that happens. But it needs to happen ongoing, and it's so important that the emails that the field sends, that we actually read them, mm-hmm. and then think about, okay, here's a question, so how do we answer that question? It can be related to vision many times. It can also be related to policy. That's a different discussion, but yes, just emphasizing again, vision has to find a way to be communicated and then implemented, else it's just a pipe dream that won't come into reality. So you work together, board and staff working together. Thanks.
Thank you, Brother Ivan. And so now's the time for you to pass your papers to the aisleway so that our brother can pick them up. And while panelists 3 and 4 give their input, I'll try to group these together and see who is going to tackle which and read which suggestions later on. Our third panelist then this morning is Brother Emmanuel Esch with Charity Christian Missions.
I'm glad to be here to be in the middle of God's work. I'd like to ask a question to begin with here. How many of you have read the missionary book called Brutschko? Let me see your hands way up high. Did you like it? Did you get something out of it?
Yeah.
One thing that I have pondered as I read that book was he went without a sending mm-hmm. team. Mm-hmm. However, it seems like his story worked out fairly well, though he nearly died doing it. But Paul asked the questions in Romans chapter 10. How shall they preach except they be sent? What is the importance of having a sending body behind you? What is the importance of being sent by either a home church or a mission board? And what is the difference between that and going out just on your own? There are people today who still kind of think they could wing it on their own. They don't really want to be bogged down with a mission board. And it's the board's responsibility to be able to communicate in such a way that it doesn't feel like they're being bogged down. The board needs to be in tune with what's happening on the field, so that missionaries don't feel bogged down by the board. But what happens when you are sent? I find it's needful to be a part of a team. I said something to Ivan here. We sat down. I'm kind of nervous. And I said, Ivan, I'm glad to be a part of a team. That way I can kind of hide. Or when trouble comes, I just kind of look at the other guys and help and look for them to help out. But if I'm alone and there's hardship and there's difficulty, I get my neck chopped alone. And I don't like that. That doesn't feel good. So my question this morning is, how shall they preach except they be sent? What is Paul saying? Isn't he really saying here that you need to be sent? How shall they preach except they be sent is the question. How can they do that? And when we're talking about long-term sustainable missions and missionaries being there a long term, there needs to be a clear sending body, a support team that is standing with them every step of the way. There's a lot of young people who are very inspired about missions. And I think of a recent one that had a great vision about reaching a certain kind of people and left his job and his home church to go to a city where these people live. Well, he says he'd like to have our blessing, but we as a mission board were not able to send him as a board that takes the responsibility. We didn't carry the responsibility of the outcome because we didn't send him. When we send someone, we must be willing to carry the responsibility of those that we send. And when going gets tough, when you're out there alone, what happens? You have no one to back you up. You have no one to carry the torch if you're alone. I echo Paul when he says, how shall they preach except they be sent? If you have a vision for missions, make sure you have a good, solid sending team.
Thank you, Brother Emmanuel. And next up is our Brother Eugene with Olive Branch.
Well, this is a joy to be with you all here. I can say amen to what I've heard these other brothers share this morning already. And as I think of promoting ways for long-term service of missionaries, I think it starts at home. Mission work begins at home with the home church. At least that's where I was inspired. Pastors who served in the field and came back and then tapped my shoulder and asked me to do something. And just a little bit of story or a little history on myself, how that happened. We had an older pastor from our congregation that was sent to the mission field. And when he came back, he asked, they were going to have their first Bible school, and he asked if I would be willing to go. He thought I should go. My wife and I should go to teach Bible school. And my first response was, I don't think so. And when I shared that with my wife, she very quickly said, well, why not? And you know what? Between her and home ministry and others, missions has become part of our life. And I think missions begins at home. Mission needs to be planted, nurtured in the heart. I think it's very important that we have a clear call to serve abroad. When we think of serving abroad, those ideas are planted in our hearts by others sharing. My wife especially remembers as a girl going to school, hearing missionary stories. And that has always impressed on her heart, her mind. And then years later, we found ourselves in the mission field. And I think it's important that we have a clear call to serve, especially when we're out there in the field and there's, or if, or I keep thinking of myself, but I'm not just thinking that way. When someone is called to go out on the field and they're facing the rugged road, the tough times, knowing that you have been called, knowing that God has sent you, you have something to go back to. You have a stake to go back to and get a hold of and say, you know, Satan, get behind me, because God has called me and I'm going to carry this out. I think another thing that's very important for us as we think of sending, think of long-term missions, is some more training before we go to the field. Being involved in sharing the gospel, whether it's tracts, witnessing, training, and studying how to minister cross-culturally is very important. Cultural training. All that, I believe, can make a difference in those who are going to the field. Because if they get there and they don't know how to communicate with the people, they're gonna get frustrated. They're gonna get weary. Other things that I jotted down here: it can be promoted by challenging the missionary to godly humility in everyday life, and I think that's important as one serves on the field. Having a healthy relationship with others in the field is very vital in long-term ministry. When there's issues between staff and we're all people, that does happen. That will soon cut someone short, especially if there's poor relationship or the communication isn't there. Someone mentioned the importance of communication between staff and board, and I think that's very important, very vital. My time up, Alan. I wasn't paying attention.
Pretty close.
One of the most important relationships to maintain that all of us need to remember, let me just finish with this, is with Jesus Christ. Spending quality prayer time to read the Bible. I am disappointed time and again when I get on the field, and one of the questions that I try and always ask staff is, how are you spending time between you and God? As staff, our staff are putting out all the time, ministering one way or another, but they also need that time for input from God. And so many times, that's the short part. And I think it's very important that we encourage them. It's vital when you're located in a strange culture, facing unfamiliarity, and many times of loneliness, that we take time to spend time with the Lord in prayer and Bible reading. Thank you.
Thank you, Eugene. And here's your set of questions so you can start thinking. And what we'll do here is I'll take one of my questions, or there may be several that are close together. And then, Ivan, you'll take one or several that are close together with you and speak on them. And Emmanuel, and then Eugene in that order. So my first set go like this. As our mission and church leaders get older and wiser, well, certainly we're getting older, that's for sure. How do we value and encourage the next generation of leaders' ideas and roles? How do we pass on the vision to the next generation of leaders? What core values are essential to any ministry? And I'll try to address that a little bit here. As you can tell, I'm getting older. As you can't tell, I may not be getting wiser, as you may not know that one. I feel like I'm not getting wiser as the years go by, just make more mistakes. But at any rate, in our mission, we are looking at this. I've been in this capacity since the year 2000. And in another 5 or 6 years, I'll hit 69. And so as a mission board, we have begun discussing how do we work forward on this. And so the first thing is to begin to discuss it while you're still sane. And so, you know, we don't like to think about it. When I brought it up to the board, they say, oh, no, you're good to go for another 10 years. We don't know that. A brain aneurysm can go like that, and you're finished. And so who's able to tell the one at the steering wheel that he's missing some things? So first of all, we're praying about it. We've begun praying about it. And I started praying about it even before I brought it up to the board. Another thing that we're doing is, and it was prompted by this book that Merle Burkholder gave me. It's Mission Drift. Mission Drift by Greer, Peter Greer, G-R-E-E-R. This book is very thought-provoking. Have any of you had the opportunity to read this book yet? Okay, it might even be a good choice book, Simon. But at any rate, it is so thoughtful about how we make these transits, how charities and nonprofits veer away from their original vision. Coming out of this, one of the things that we're doing now is we're discussing as a mission, what are our core values? And so we've listed 7 or 8 of them. And we're trying to devise an instrument that will help to dig out of what's on the inside of a person's head and heart so that the next president of DNI and the upcoming new board members, are we on the same page? To what degree are we on the same page? So that's one thing we are working at to help pass on the vision. Prayer and fasting is so important. This last fall, as our board got together to reset our next 5-year goals, we took a day for prayer and fasting to get together in a cabin, cell phones turned off, and just start praying and talking together and late into the night. That was very, very helpful to think and pray together. What are our goals? We do need to pray specifically for God to raise up the next generation of leaders. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful, but what? The workers are few. And so the core of the harvest issue is workers, leaders, skillful, insightful, foresightful, people of character. Now, we need to pray for that because sometimes they're right under our noses and we don't see them. And so sometimes we miss them because we see a defect. And we need to pray for them because sometimes they don't even see themselves as that. And they may have entanglements or responsibilities, and they can't see themselves getting through. Plus, the devil is always around to beat people down and say, you can't do that. So we've got to pray for it. And that's about as far as I can go right now on this one. Amos? Ivan, sorry.
Okay, there's two questions here that I think I'll put together. First one is, what is the best route for a staff member to take if the board does not seem to be present, not making their vision clear? What is the best way to encourage communication between staff and board as a staff, especially if the board is busy with other things? So those two are the questions. I was reflecting back on just our early experience on the foreign field. We went to Belize in 1973, and comparing communication then and now. In 1973, we contacted the board via snail mail, air mail back then, and expected an answer within 6 months. Today, with modern technology, staff send an email and they expect an answer quickly. I think one of the important things for boards to do is to respond in a very timely way. If you can't give a complete answer or even any direction, at least acknowledge that you have the correspondence. You've received their question, you're going to be looking at it, and I think the closer you can put the receiving of the question and the answer together, the better the relationships are with the field, because it's communicating that you're hearing and you're concerned. Sometimes I will acknowledge it's difficult for a board to really express the vision as clearly as we ought to. And that's something that takes time. It takes something that we need to work at. And I think part of that happens as we hear what's actually happening on the field, the difficulties they face, and then we try to assimilate that and find out, well, now how would we respond? Were we in their shoes? Could we give them some kind of helpful things to try? What are the things we can offer to them? I think it's very important that a board comes alongside and gives them ideas, options that they can try, and just, again, restate the vision that we have. Thank you.
Several questions here that I'm grouping together have to do with long-term service in mission life. One question is, do we promote long-term service by making mission life more comfortable? Maybe yes, maybe no, depends on what level you're living. In our experience, we see the need to make the missionaries more comfortable so they can just live. When you're in a very, very difficult area where it gets barren and dry for 4 months out of the year, and the locals are having a hard time just being sustained by their own way, to try to live at their level is too hard for us. We do need to make our missionaries comfortable so that they can at least live and survive without getting sick or dying. But we're not talking about extravagant lifestyles either, not at all. Another question here is, do donations provide sustainable missions? Maybe the question there is that does money provide sustainable missions? It has a part to play in it, but sustainable missions really, I see, is God's call on a man's life, where he'll be a missionary wherever he lives, wherever he is. But we're specifically talking about foreign missions, I believe, here in many cases. And so, yes, money does help to provide sustenance for them, but that's not the key element as I see it there. One other question here is about long-term work. Should we not plan on working ourselves out of a job, such as planting a church and moving on? That, I think, is yes, we should plan on that. We should plan to go into an area and plan on moving on in due time, not quitting our own calling as missions, but perhaps to a new field or another area.
Question that I have here, what is the most important aspect in sending someone? Isn't the most important to proclaim the gospel? I would think it would be that would be the most important, and maybe I'm not understanding the question, and someone will need to help me with that if I'm not. But I think of the most important in sending someone is to lead people to Jesus Christ, to saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And we can come back to that if there was a different thought on that. I want to respond to that correctly, but as I think of sending someone, it would be to share the gospel and to walk alongside of them when they respond. Or if we have schools in a lot of our missions, sending personnel as school teachers, sending them to help children learn. Another question here, maybe two of these could be put together. How do we avoid disconnect between missionaries and ascending churches? Actually, that's twice. How can a missionary stay vitally connected with his church or a church? Those are two different questions. And that's a really good question. And I think it comes back to the home church, missionary or the mission board sending them out, but the home church commissioning them, and then staying in touch. My encouragement to home pastors is keep in touch with those sheep that have gone out from your flock. But it's also important that our missionaries keep their home churches informed, home ministries informed. Some churches have committees that are assigned to be in touch with those that are on the field from their congregation. I think that's an excellent thing to do, and would encourage that. But there is no greater joy than to hear from your home ministry when you're on the field. When you're on that side of ministry, and they call you and talk to you just and encourage you and bless you in what you're doing. Personally, being on that side, having been on that side, was challenged with a question from someone in the community, didn't know how to respond, I was able to call home ministry to get direction on that. And we can do the same thing with the board. But I think that's one way that we can avoid disconnect between missionaries and ascending churches. Communication and being there for them is very important.
Okay. What time are we to finish this workshop? 10:50. Okay. So we'll each choose one more question that we haven't answered yet. I'll lead off with that. We'll go in the same order. And then after that, we'll allow for questions from the floor. And we can always pass it off to one of you, right? How many of you here today have been involved in short-term or long-term missions at some point in your journey? Oh, great. Oh, my. Why are we up here? Okay. This next one is, ministries often start with much enthusiasm but wear themselves out. How can a ministry pace itself not to only survive but to be effective in 20 years? Okay. Probably we ought to look to Ivan to answer this because he's been in a ministry that's longer than maybe the rest of us put together, their mission. But at any rate, I'll start off here. I would say that for me personally and for our mission, one of the things that really helps to retain freshness is prayer and fasting. And don't leave off the fasting. We're good at prayer and feasting. That one letter makes quite a difference, right? But prayer and fasting, it sharpens you up. It leans you up. It just puts you in touch with the Lord. I would say, too, those of us who are in responsible places of ministry, we ought to always be reading a book, have one in process, or two or three. And someone has said, the one who reads is the one who leads. Tell me what you read today, I'll tell you who you'll be in 6 months from now. So reading. If you don't like reading, pray and ask God, repent first, and then ask God. No, just pray and ask God, God, would you please rearrange me on the inside? I really don't like to read, but I would like to read, so would you please change me, okay? And then I would say another great thing is just networking with other ministries. And if you're in a ministry and you weren't here yesterday in the afternoon and evening, you ought to be in 2 years from now. There's just a freshness. It helps to keep you on your toes a bit more. Oh, we could do that, or we learned from them. And so that would be another way. And then the last one I would add is do what you expect your workers to do. If you want them to be a witness, you witness. If you want them to disciple, you disciple. And I quote from the NIV. I'm not endorsing that that version right now necessarily, but I like this way they translate it. Philemon 6, I pray that you may be active in sharing your faith so that you may have a full understanding of every good thing we have in Christ. So if we want our workers to witness and win souls to Christ and plant churches, then let's be involved in it ourselves. That will bring freshness like you can't believe. Ivan?
Okay, here's a question. Since there are not enough missionaries to go around, should the current missionaries spread themselves out thinly to reach more people, or will we accomplish more in the long run by working in groups due to fewer burnouts? Interesting concept. One of the dynamics of working together as a group is the interpersonal relationships that need to also be nurtured, and that sometimes is a sore spot, unfortunately, on the foreign field. And so if you are in a situation where the work is very intense and the relationships are intense, there's a high likelihood of burnout because you're paying attention to those things. So if you can work with a group that has a very common interest and their vision meshes, I think you have a combination there that is strong and powerful, probably a good thing. I think the other question here that I have may kind of tie in with this. It says, any comments on this one? The Apostle Paul often stayed briefly in the locations he visited. We often stay longer and in some cases stay permanently or nearly permanently. So the idea of reaching further by going faster is in point here, and I think it ties in with the other concept. I think missions have learned over the years some things that work well and some that don't. Staying long tends to create a dependency, and so you need to find ways to break that and by moving on more quickly. And that's one thing that AMA has been attempting to do over the years, is to try to move more quickly and empowering local men that are faithful to take the work. It's going to look a bit different, but that's okay. The work is getting done, and that's what we're excited about. So I'm not sure if I've answered these, but a few thoughts.
Question on, in which has to do with tent making and working on the field. Is tent making a position, a positive strategy for missions when not required by the host country? In other words, there are some countries where you can go in as a missionary. Should you engage yourself in a job there to support yourself? While there are other countries, host countries, that do not accept as, you know, as missionaries, you have to have a reason to be there, i.e. a job, teaching school or something like that. And then what is the balance between work, ministry, and family? That's the basic question I have here. I would recommend that, if at all possible, you are sent there to take the gospel, and you should give all your time to ministry, if possible. If you find yourself in a country where you need to have a means to be there, do what has to be done. But your life, you're sent to take the gospel. You're not sent to make a new machine necessarily, or become a great worker there, or to become an established businessman. That's not your purpose. That may be a means to be there, but that's not your purpose. And so focus is very important, to keep your focus clear. Another question along the same way is, do you look for heavy investment from home communities, or do you force missions to become indigenous by making field workers work locally to provide their own support? I'd like to first say that if you're a missionary in the field and you have to work to support yourself, that doesn't mean you're indigenous. That's not the term, what the term indigenous means, as I would understand it. So this question, again, has to do with providing your support and how to do that. You have to find your way in each country, depending what country you're in.
I have two questions here. First one, why do so many missionaries burn out? I'm sure that's not God's intent, for missionaries to run themselves to the point of burnout. And maybe it comes back to us who serve on boards, not keeping a close watch, communicating enough with our staff. I can think of two different situations in Olive Branch, a mission I represent, where we've had one man who after his 3 years said, I am burned out. Another one that is serving today is in a very much of a overload mode. And we're aware of that. and we're trying to stay close to it. That is one that why do so many burn out? I think it comes back to teamwork, working together, maybe not delegating enough on the field. A lot of times it's one of the lead men that happens to, and I guess I have some questions myself. What does cause that? And I just think of taking on too many responsibilities and not delegating enough. The other question, very similar, what is one main cause of failed mission efforts? It's definitely a failure when those who are in leadership break down or can't lead as they ought because they're tired, they're overloaded, need a break. Again, I think it's something that we need to when we serve on boards or on the field, watch out for each other. And if we see an overload situation, so that we don't have those failures. There are others that's thinking of staff. I think of another situation where we had a church that chose to go a different way than what the mission was directing. And I look back at that and say we have failed in not walking alongside of them as we should have when it first started. Today it's work, but I feel like restoration is being made, a relationship is being restored. While they are going a different direction, it is our goal to see churches become indigenous and go on their own, but not with ill feelings. And so that in that case there, it was one that felt like it failed, but we're helping them come around. At least I hope and pray that can be the case.
Thank you, Eugene. Now, maybe your question didn't get answered or even addressed, or maybe it prompted some other question and you'd like to bring that up, or maybe God gave you a great idea that you would like to pass on in relation to one of these questions. So we're putting ourselves in a dangerous spot here, right? But we can always say, well, we don't know, and we'll ask somebody in the audience here. So a question that you might like to pop. And you men up here, you can be preparing in case they have no more questions. We answered the questions so well. You can see if there's any of your questions that you didn't answer yet. You can get those ready. Okay, any questions from the floor? Yes.
In relation to communicating to the workers on the field, we have an older single sister in our congregation who voluntarily decided
We have an older sister in our congregation who has taken on a responsibility of communicating our church services through email every Sunday to all the workers our church has on the field. It keeps them connected to what's happening in the church. They know things that, like when we call our daughter and son-in-law with AMA in South America, they already know. We have to go to other news to bring them up to date. But Ann Yoder is just really providing a tremendous ministry, and no one appointed her to it. She just felt the prompting from the Lord to do that, and it's really a blessing.
Thank you. Okay.
The question that I think Eugene just addressed about burnout, I'd just give a personal experience, if you don't mind. I've been on the field for a number of years, and several years ago, I felt like I was heading towards burnout. Very difficult living situations, a lot of health crises that we were facing, and ministry challenges, relationship issues. And Emmanuel's the chairman of our board, but I just want to really encourage that hearing someone out when they're in that place is important, and they're not going to say things right. I probably expressed a lot of frustrations and said things I shouldn't, but I needed to get it out. And you know, having a board member that came over and just heard and validated my experiences, and I felt we could just dump and dump for hours, my wife and I, and then gave us options. Because when you're facing burnout, you feel claustrophobic. It looks like there's no way forward. you're pressed from every side. And as he gave us options and we walked through, we felt doors open, and we were able to continue on. My wife and children are still over there. We're still working, and we're fumbling, but we're in God's grace. So there are ways forward, and I really appreciate when the sending organization hears you out, gives you options.
Good. And next one, very way in the back there. And if you have a question, you want to direct it to one of the panelists, feel free to do so.
What if the mission's home church doesn't see the need for a support team, or maybe doesn't even have a vision for missions? So I'm picturing maybe somebody who feels the call of God on her life specifically to foreign missions, and maybe they're, I'm thinking of a mission organization. What does a mission organization do with that?
Okay, which of you three men would like to answer that question?
I don't quite understand your question about what does a mission organization do with that?
What advice would you give to somebody in that situation?
What advice would we give to the young couple who wants to go? Are you saying if the home church does not have the burden or the vision for sustaining or supporting or sending them? I feel it's biblical to be sent, and that without being sent, I don't want to go. I don't want to see you go that way. And I would encourage you to find as much support as possible. It may take you longer to get to the field, but it will be well worth your while, because if you're out there without that support team, you might throw away your 3 or 5 or 7 years of labor there and go home disappointed. But if you can have a support team or numerous support teams, even maybe find another board that will support you from another area, you need to have that support. And find that support before you go, solid, clear. That's my recommendation.
I think it also comes back to an opportunity for boards in congregations like that. You know, we don't push ourselves into churches and say, hey, I have something to say. I want to share about Olive Branch Mennonite Missions. One of your members is expressing interest. I'm just using that as an illustration. But asking them, may I share with your congregation about our mission? And I learned that from Christian Aid Ministries. They ask, can we share? And I always appreciated that. And that gives an opportunity, maybe, to instill a burden for lost and for missions in a church that doesn't have that passion.
Brothers and sisters, we have 1 minute left before the moderator takes over. And what I'd like us to do is something that Korean Christians do. I'm going to push you a little bit, but it is a mission setting. So stand up. We're going to pray aloud in unison for God to raise up more workers who will go the long haul, and we can do great jobs in caring for them. And when you hear me chiming in, that means you wind down. 1, 2, 3, let's pray. Father in heaven, we come to you this morning. Send out more workers into your harvest field. Oh God, show us how to take care of them. Show us how to pass on the vision to the next generation of leaders. Oh God, pour out your Spirit all across our churches. Lord, raise up more workers. Send them out. Make them more skillful. Show us how to hold the ropes for them. And Father, we're asking this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of the harvest, and we agree and say, Amen. You may be seated. Moderator, take over.
This recording and many others are available through Christian Learning Resource, the campus bookstore at Faith Builders. Order online at www.christianlearning.org or call 877-222-4769.